أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سورة آل عمران آية 190. إن في خلق السماوات والأرض. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth. واختلاف الليل والنهار. And the alternation of the night and the day. لآيات لأولي الألباب. Are signs for those people who have understanding, for those people who use their mind. These ayat, the following 10 verses, they are very special verses of the Quran. And we learn that the Prophet ﷺ, when he received these ayat, when these verses were revealed upon him, he cried a lot. Why? Out of gratitude. Out of gratitude. He cried a lot. And we also learn that the Prophet ﷺ, after these ayat were revealed upon him, he continued to recite these every night. When he would wake up during the night to perform the Qiyam al-Layl, then he would recite these verses upon waking up. These verses, they conclude Surat Ali Imran. These verses, what do? They conclude this surah. Just as at the beginning of the surah, what was mentioned? The Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that He is the Creator. Similarly, at the end of the surah, again, emphasis has been laid on the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He is the Rabb, and therefore, He is the only one who is Ilah. He is the only one who is worthy of worship. We learn that Ibn Mardawih, he recorded that Ata said that I, Ibn Umar, and Ubayd bin Umair, all three of us, went to Aisha radiallahu anha. And this was obviously after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Ata is a tabi'i, he's not in the Sahaba. So all three of them, they went to Aisha radiallahu anha and entered her room. And there was a screen between us and her. Why? Because Aisha radiallahu anha, she used to teach men, but from behind a screen. So there was a screen between us and her. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, tell us about the most unusual thing that you witnessed from the Messenger of Allah. Tell us something very unique, very unusual, that you noticed, that you witnessed in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu anha cried, and she said, all of his matters were amazing. All of his matters were amazing. I mean, you're asking about something unusual? Everything was unusual. Everything of his life was beautiful. Everything that I witnessed was amazing. But there is one incident that she mentioned. That one night, the Prophet ﷺ came close to me. That basically in bed, he said to me, let me worship my Lord. Let me do ibadah. I said, by Allah, I love your being close to me. But I also love that you worship your Lord. She didn't stop him. The Prophet ﷺ got up and used the water skin and performed ablution. He performed wudu. But did not use too much water. He did not use too much water. He then stood up in prayer and cried until his beard became wet. He prostrated and cried until he made the ground wet. He then laid down on his side and cried. When Bilal radiallahu anhu, he came to alert the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the Fajr prayer, he said, O Messenger of Allah, what makes you cry while Allah has forgiven your previous and latter sins? What makes you cry when you're forgiven for all of your sins? The Prophet ﷺ said, وَيْحَكَ يَا بِلَالِ وَمَا يَمْنَعُنِي أَنْ أَبْكِيَ وَقَدْ أُنزِلَ عَلَيَّ فِي هَذِهِ اللَّيْلَةِ إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. He said, O Bilal, what prevents me from crying when this night this ayah was revealed to me? Which ayah? إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. And the Prophet ﷺ said, وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ قَرَأَهَا وَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرْ فِيهَا. Woe to the one who recites this ayah but does not contemplate it, but he does not reflect upon it. The Prophet ﷺ, when he received these ayat, especially the first one, he cried so much. He reflected so much upon this ayah that when he stood and he cried, his beard became wet. When he did sajda and he cried, the place where he was prostrating that became wet. And when he was lying down, again he cried. Why? Because of this ayah. Because he reflected upon this ayah. And he said, woe to the one who recites this ayah but does not contemplate it. He does not reflect upon it. We also learn from another hadith. Al-Bukhari, he recorded that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that I slept one night at the house of my aunt Maymuna. Maymuna radiallahu anha was also the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she was the aunt of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. The Messenger of Allah spoke with his wife for a while and then went to sleep. So at night what happened? He was spending the night over Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, he spoke to his wife a little bit and then he went to sleep. When it was the third part of the night, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up. He looked at the sky and he recited, إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب. And he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then stood up, he performed wudu, he used miswak to clean his teeth, and then he prayed 11 units of prayer. But we learn that before praying, what did he recite? These ayat, the last 10 verses of Surah Ali Imran. So what are these verses that when the Prophet ﷺ received them, he cried so much? And he said, why shouldn't I cry when these ayat have been revealed upon me? Why not? And they touched him so much that every night when he would wake up during the night to pray, before even praying, he would recite these ayat. What are these verses? إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth. خَلْق is to create something for the first time. It is to create something for the first time. That something did not exist before, and now it exists. So the heavens and the earth, they did not exist before. Who created them? Who brought them into existence? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is also said that khalq is to create something in a way that its specimen does not exist before, meaning to create something in a completely new way, in a completely new form. Nothing like it existed before. Nothing similar to it existed before. It's not an imitation. It's not a copy. It's something original. So indeed, in the khalq of the heavens and the earth. And remember that the word khalq applies to the process of creation, and it also applies to a creation, meaning something that has been created. So in the creation of the heavens and the earth, meaning in how the heavens and the earth have been created, in the manner of their creation, and in the existence, meaning in their form, in their function, how they exist, how they are, in their properties, in their characteristics, of what? Of the heavens and the earth. What else? And in the alternation of the night and the day, what are there? Signs for those people who use intellect. First of all, it has been mentioned in the creation of the heavens and the earth. What does it mean by this? That first of all, how they did not exist before, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them into existence. Just imagine that the heavens and the earth and everything within them did not exist before. No sign of them. Nothing whatsoever. Who brought them into existence? Who brought everything within the heavens and the earth into existence? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't there a sign of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that? Isn't there a sign of the power of Allah, the magnitude of Allah, the knowledge of Allah, the wisdom of Allah, the perfection of Allah in how He created the heavens and the earth? Just imagine, no sign of the heavens and the earth and how He created them. They didn't exist and He brought them into existence. Also, خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, this indicates that in their state, that how Allah has created them, how the heavens and the earth function. And in this, we can understand خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ in four ways. That first of all, in their vastness and their magnitude. In their sa'ah, their vastness, and their kibr, their magnitude. That just reflect on the magnitude, on the sa'ah, the vastness of the heavens, of the skies. Just imagine the vastness, that it takes thousands and thousands of light years to travel from one corner to the other. And that is just the samawat that we know of. Just imagine all that is beyond, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only knows about. And also just imagine the vastness, the spaciousness, the magnitude of the earth. And the earth is what compared to the samawat? It's nothing. It's a small speck. It's a small speck, a tiny speck. But still, the earth is so huge. It is so vast. So first of all, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them as huge, as expansive, as vast, very huge, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them. And if you just look at the skies, if you just look at the heavens, the galaxies, the many stars that exist in the skies, and the vastness of the earth, that so many square kilometers, so many square miles, earth is just never ending. You think that you travel from one corner of the earth to the other, you've gone, you know, you've seen so much. But the fact is that there's so much more to explore. So many parts of the earth that still haven't been seen by any human being. So many parts under the ocean, under the water, that haven't been seen by the human beings. So many parts up in the mountains that haven't been seen by the human beings. Just imagine the vastness of the heavens and the earth. So first of all, in the vastness, in the kibr and the sa'ah. Secondly, in the beauty, the husn of the heavens and the earth. If you just look at the skies, just the sky above you, it could be plain blue. But the fact is that every morning when you wake up, you see a different shade of blue. Sometimes it's cloudy, sometimes it's very bright. Sometimes you see pink and redness in the sky. And sometimes you see clouds that are of so many different shapes and sizes. What is all of this? The beauty of the sky. The daytime has its own beauty, and the nighttime has its own beauty. The night sky has its own beauty. And if you reflect upon the beauty of the earth, the color of the earth, the color of the soil, the color of the different blades of grass, the color of the different trees, the different flowers, the different scenes. So, in the husn of the heavens and the earth as well. We learn in Surah Al-Mulk, ayah number 5, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحٍ. And we have beautified the sky of the earth, the lowest heaven. We have beautified it with what? Masabih, with lamps. Yes, these lamps, these stars, they have their function. But at the same time, they are a source of beauty for people. They adorn the night sky. They beautify the night sky. And just look at the care that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for His servants. That it's not just the earth below their feet that is beautiful. It's even the sky above them that is beautiful. That when they look down, they see beauty. When they look up, they see beauty. This is how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cares for His servants. Thirdly, in their perfection, in their strength, and the fact that there are no rifts in the heavens and the earth. So for instance, if you look at the sky, we learn in Surah Al-Mulk, ayah number 3, أَلَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَنِ مِنْ تَفَاوُتٍ فَارْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورٍ. الَّذِي خَلَقَ, that the one who created 7 heavens, how? In layers, طِبَاقَ. You do not see in the creation of the Most Merciful any inconsistency. You don't see any inconsistency. You don't see any holes and gaps in the sky, any cracks in the sky. That sometimes you go to a building and you look up and you see a big hole. It scares you. You wonder what's up there. And if you see a crack, that also scares you, that this building is not stable. But the sky above you, it doesn't have any cracks, any fissures. And in the creation of the Most Merciful, you don't see any inconsistency. So return your vision to the sky. Do you see any breaks? Do you see any breaks at all in the sky? No, you don't. And if you reflect upon the earth, that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the mountains to stabilize the earth. Imagine if they were not there. And imagine if the earth was always shaking, always moving. There were earthquakes all the time. How difficult it would be for the human beings to survive, to do anything in peace. Fourthly, in the khalq of the heavens and the earth, that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in both of them, in both the heavens and the earth, various different types of creation for the benefit of human beings. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed different types of creation in the heavens and in the earth. Why? For the benefit of human beings. So if you look at the sky, it's not just the blue sky, which turns black during the night. No. During the day, there is the sun, and there are the clouds. During the night, there is the moon, and there are the stars. Why? For the benefit of mankind. And if you look at the earth, it's not just one kind of earth, one kind of soil. No, you have desert soil, you have desert sand. Then you have rocky ground. Then you have very muddy and smooth and soft ground. What is all of this? The mercy of Allah. That how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept variation in the heavens and in the earth, with the creation that is in the heavens and in the earth. We learn in Surah Al-Ra'd, ayah number 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفِي الْأَرْضِ قِطَعٌ مُتَجَاوِرَاتٌ. And in the earth, Allah has placed portions of soil that are mutajawirat, that are neighboring. Meaning, one portion of earth you will find is very hard and tough. Another portion is very nice and grassy. Another one has a lot of pebbles on it. And they're all next to each other, one by one. This is of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, we see that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has filled the earth with so many benefits for human beings. So many benefits that fulfill the needs of the human beings, that fulfill the needs of sustenance. And the earth contains everything that a human being needs for his life and also after his death. We learn in Surah Mursalat, ayahs 25 to 27. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ كِفَاتًا أَحْيَاءً وَأَمْوَاتًا وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا رَوَاسِيَ شَامِخَاتٍ وَأَسْقَيْنَاكُمْ مَاءً فُرَاتًا. Have we not made the earth a container? Meaning something which has everything that you need. Just as you can fill so much in a container, that the earth contains you, of the living and the dead. That the human being, he lives off of this earth, and when he dies, he goes inside this earth. Just imagine if people died and they couldn't be decomposed inside the earth. So many dead bodies on the surface of the earth. Just imagine. How could people live? It would be impossible. And we place therein lofty, firmly set mountains and have given you to drink sweet water. So in the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed different types of creation. Why? For the benefit of human beings. So that the human being can benefit from them during his life and also after he dies, that the earth actually consumes him. And he's not just left to decay and rot on the surface of the earth. So in all of this are what? Signs of the qudra of Allah. The power of Allah. The ability of Allah. The mercy of Allah. The affection of Allah. The wisdom. The knowledge of Allah. La'ayat. Many signs. So first of all, in the khalq of the heavens and the earth. Secondly, وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. And in the alternation of the night and the day. اختلاف is from خَلْف. And what does خَلْف mean? To come after. And خِلَاف also is to be opposite. So اختلاف is understood in several ways. First of all, it is understood as the difference of the night and the day. How they differ from one another. How do the night and day differ from one another? How do they differ from one another? In their color, in their appearance, that one is dark and the other is bright. One is dark and the other is bright. How else do they differ? In the purpose, in the benefit, that the night is وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا. That the night is a time for rest and the day is a time for making your livelihood, earning your livelihood. So how do they differ? In their purpose, in their function. How else do they differ? How else do they differ, the night and the day? In their temperatures. So for instance, the day is very hot and the night is very cold. The day is hot and the night is cold. How else? In their length. In their length. That in some seasons, what happens? The night is short and the day is long. And at other times, the day is short and the night is long. It's not like 12 hours night and 12 hour day. No, that doesn't happen. The time keeps changing. It keeps varying. So there is a difference in the tool, in the length of the night and the day as well. Also we see that there is a difference in the night and the day. That during the day, you experience a lot of happiness maybe, or a lot of sadness. And then during the night, what happens? Things change. You have a very bad day, But you go home during the night and everything changes. And also if you look at it in a figurative sense, that day is followed by the night. So no day is permanent. It comes to an end and the night begins. Similarly, no night is permanent. It comes to an end and the day begins. No problem in this life is forever. It comes to an end and good times begin. Similarly, no good times are permanent. They come to an end and difficulties begin. Because this life is about test. لَتُبْلَوُنَّ. Surely you will definitely be tested. So first of all, اختلاف is the difference between the night and the day. Secondly, it refers to the alternation of the night and the day. That how they come one after the other. The day comes, the night leaves. So how they come one after the other, and they're not permanent. And this is also a great mercy of Allah. Just imagine if the day didn't come to an end. In the summer, sometimes when the days are very long and your eyes are closing, you want to sleep and you have to pray Isha, how difficult it is. So just imagine if there was no night or if there was no day, how difficult it would be to survive. And the places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the system, the few places on the earth, they remind us of the big blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That just imagine if everywhere this was the case, that 6 months of the year, all night, and 6 months of the year, all day, how difficult it would be for you to survive. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows this to us throughout the year or through different places of the earth to remind us of the great blessings that He has given us. And that's also amazing that in one part of the earth it's nighttime and another part of the earth it's daytime. So اختلاف الليل والنهار, the alternation, the coming and going of the night and the day. And also اختلاف الليل والنهار shows that in succession how the days are longer and the nights are shorter. And then soon what happens? The cycle changes. The cycle alternates. The cycle keeps changing. That throughout the year, in the summer the days are longer, in the winter the days are shorter. Again in the summer the days are longer, again in the winter the days are shorter. So the cycle keeps going on. There is alternation. So, اختلاف الليل والنهار, in the alternation of the night and the day. The succession, the difference, the variation of the night and the day. What are there? Allah says there are لآيات لأولي الألباب. There are surely signs for those people who have albab. Ayat is a plural of ayah. And what is an ayah? A sign, an evidence. And over here, ayat, plural, has been used. Why? Because there are many, many signs. There are many different and various types of signs in the khalq samawati wal ard and in the ikhtilaf al-layli wal nahar. So basically, in the ikhtilaf al-layli wal nahar and in the khalq samawati wal ard, there are many aspects, there are many things that are the signs, that are the ayat of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the qudra of Allah, the rahmah of Allah, the hikmah of Allah, the ilm of Allah. There are many, many things in the khalq of the samawati wal ard, in the ikhtilaf al-layli wal nahar, that point to the existence of the Creator. And if a person begins to reflect upon the creation, then he would come up with an endless list of these ayat. If you just begin reflecting on the sunrise and the sunset, you would come up with so many benefits, so many ayat. If you just reflect on your own body, there is an endless list of ayat. All of these ayat, what do they point to? What do they show to a person? The fact of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The qudra of Allah. So there are many signs for who? لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Over here, لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, it specifies that it is only those people who have lub who will actually see the ayat, who will benefit from the ayat. And ulul albab has been used. Albab, as you know, is a plural of lub. And what does lub mean? What's the literal meaning of the word? Not intellect, the literal meaning of the word. The core of something. The core of something. The essence of something, the heart of something, the crux of the matter, the main part of something. And what's the main part of the human beings? What is it that distinguishes human beings from the rest of the creation? It's their intellect. Because if you look at it, animals, they eat and drink, they produce children, they walk about, they sleep, They talk as well. They communicate with each other somehow or the other as well. Human beings also do the same. But what is the difference? It's the aql. So the aql is the main part, the essence of the human being. And it is said that aql, or intelligence, it's not just the ability to exercise reason, to be able to exercise your mind and reflect upon something. No. Aql is not to be able to, you can say, just solve a math problem. No. That's not what aql is. Or to understand a very complicated problem. That's not what an aql is. Aql is rushd fit tasarruf. It is rectitude. It is the correctness of one's conduct, of one's behavior. That is what intelligence is. Because a person might say that there are many people who reflect on these things that are mentioned over here. Right? Many people. But do they believe in Allah? No. Not all of them. Do they humble themselves before Allah? Not all of them. Many of them, in fact, they lose their iman when they reflect on the heavens and the earth. But what does Allah say? That these things are actually ayat. But for who? لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. For those people who have the right aql. Those people who don't just have the ability to solve complicated problems, to understand complicated matters, but rather those people who have the correctness in their behavior, in their conduct, in their demeanor. That is what true aql is. So we see that aql is different from intelligence. It is different from intelligence. And the more rectitude and correctness a person has in his behavior, the more aql he is. The more aql he has. The more aql he has. Now, can you think about this correctness in one's behavior? The correctness of a person's behavior. What does it mean by that? That a person approaches things in the correct way, in the correct manner. That is the correctness of a person's behavior. That a person approaches problems in the correct manner. A person approaches complicated issues or matters in a manner that is correct, in a manner that is appropriate. So for example, the heavens and the earth, the alternation of the night and the day, they exist. One is to keep researching and reflecting, okay, the night has these properties and the day has these properties. The heavens, the sky has these properties and the earth has these properties, and it came about because of this reason and that happened. And okay, physics and science, and you know, it is to exercise your mind on these matters. And the other is that you exercise your mind in these matters, but with the correct approach. And what is that correct approach? That how is it possible that all of this came into existence without a purpose, without a reason? How is it possible? If a pen is made, if a house is made, if anything is made, there is always a purpose behind that. There is always a reason behind that. You always ask, what is the function of this thing? For example, you go to a store and there's a very nice latest machine and you really like it. It looks very cool. What are you going to ask? So what does it do? What are its features? What's the purpose? Are you just going to be impressed by the fact that it has so much speed and it uses so much power and it can work so much? Is that all you're going to be concerned about? No. The correct approach is that what is the function of this machine? Why has it been made? And if it has been made to suit your purpose, to suit your benefit, then you're going to use it. So similarly, ulul albab are those who don't just reflect on how the heavens and the earth are, but they reflect on how is it possible that Allah made this without a reason? It's not possible. Recently, one of my relatives had a baby, and I went to the hospital to visit them. The baby was unwell, so the baby was at the hospital. So, you know, it was very painful for all of us that a human being has been born, has come into this world with so much, like, difficulty, you can say. And as I entered the hospital, I saw some of my friends over there, and I wondered, why are they here? And I realized that their aunt was also at the hospital. She had just gotten a stroke, and she was at the hospital. And I was amazed that there is one human being coming into this world with so much difficulty, and there is another human being who is leaving this world with so much difficulty. How can you say that the time between coming and going is useless, is meaningless? How can you say that? How can you say that? Now, one is to just focus on, okay, there was a complication in the birth or in the baby because of this and this and this reason. Okay. And the other is that there is a complication with this problem because they suffered from this illness. And okay. But reflect on how and why and what's the reason? What's the purpose? What's the purpose? Why do we come into this world and why do we leave this world? Why are we here? When we see so many people coming and so many people going, how can we think that the time in between is useless, is without a reason? How can you think that? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the heavens and the earth, and He alternates the night and the day, and He shows us His creation. Why? To make us realize that there is a purpose behind all of this. There are many ayat, many things on which people can reflect, and they can realize this purpose. لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. But obviously none but those people who have albab will benefit from these ayat. None except them will benefit. And who are the ulul albab? Just people who have big degrees, who have spent hours researching and years of their life studying and researching on different aspects of the heavens and the earth? No. It's not just those people. Who are they? الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ. It is those people who remember Allah. How do they remember Allah? When do they remember Allah? قِيَامًا, while standing. وَقُعُودًا, and sitting. وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ, and lying on their sides. So they remember Allah while standing, sitting, and reclining. What else do they do? وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And they reflect on the creation of the heavens and the earth. And they say, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. O our Lord, You did not create all of this aimlessly. You did not create all of this without a reason. سُبْحَانَكَ. Exalted are You. Exalted are You above such a thing that You would create all of this without a reason. فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Then protect us from the punishment of the fire. So it is these people who have albab, who have intellect. And it is these people who benefit from the ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in the heavens and the earth. So it shows to us that an intelligent person is not just one who uses his mind to reflect on the creation. But rather, an intelligent person is the one who uses his mind to reflect on the creation, but at the same time, he also remembers Allah. He uses this reflection to come closer to Allah, to increase in his iman. Because a believer, every action that he does is for the purpose of ibadah. That is the correct way. Any action that a believer does, it could be an act of ibadah. So even when he is looking at the night sky, or if he is looking at his own fingers, who is he remembering? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا. Let's listen to the recitation of these verses.
إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار.